Okay, Acts chapter 2, and I'd like to read the first 11 verses of Acts chapter 2 to start with. Acts chapter 2, and it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And we're going to look at just a small portion of this morning, and I'm not much on titles, so I'll use part of what one of the verses says here in verse 2 of chapter 2. It says, "Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind," and that's what we're going to call this morning, rushing mighty wind. And we'll see what that speaks to. There's three things that we're going to kind of note in verses 2 to 4 that says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And I think before we go on, as it says, "and they spoke in those other tongues," I think we need to first look at a couple of things. And I would like to look at a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, cloven tongues, and it sat on each of them, and all filled with the Holy Ghost, and spake as the Spirit gave utterance. And we're going to look at some of those things. In John chapter 3, turn to John chapter 3, if you would, please, with me. And the Lord's visiting with Nicodemus here, and speaking some very important things about the new birth, about a man needing to be born again. And Nicodemus, not understanding in the natural sense, or in only the natural sense, what this might be talking about. But the Lord says here, start the verse with verse 4 in chapter 3 of John, and it says, "Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Which was that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." And here, I think a couple of important thoughts here that bear on this same, the thought to start here of the rushing mighty wind that they heard that came in. And it says, came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house wherein they were, verse 2. And the sound of the mighty rushing wind, and it says it came from heaven. It wasn't just talking about the windows were left open. and the wind blew in, as it were. This was a, it says, a rushing mighty wind from heaven. And as it says here in John, the Lord speaking to Nicodemus, how the Spirit moves and how the Spirit works, some important things. It says that has to be born of the Spirit. The birth he's speaking about, that this is not, this is from above. This isn't just something that we fulfill the religious steps and we end up with this result from it. This is something that is from above, as it says. And in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell when it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Here they heard this mighty wind. They heard this. They couldn't see it, that part of it. It was and as it says here, that it was a sound from heaven. This is the direction that the Spirit comes to his people on this earth, is heaven down to man. Doesn't work the other way around. Heaven down to man, of the blessings and the spiritual things that we have are from heaven above to us. He goes on in Nicodemus, and he speaks about these things and talks to him about Moses and other things, that this has to be, this is done from above. This isn't something that man can work through his mind on and come up with a solution to a problem, and there you have it. This is what the wind blows where it goes where it desires to go. We can't see what's causing this. And as far as outward goes, the wind goes, it can go different directions, it goes different places. The Spirit, the same way. We don't know when the word is read or preached or taught or pondered on in any manner. We don't know what the Spirit will do with that, but the Spirit is the one that takes that and works that. We saw that, and we're going to read a passage again a little bit about the seed on good ground. If God does not prepare that ground, there is no good ground. It is all that stone and bad ground by nature. There is no good ground out there. We see where the Lord says in a couple of different spots, we have record that he looked down and see if there was anyone that sought after him. He said there was nobody. There was no one. So this is from above, all this working that is spoken of here, that in John he likens it to the wind, and here it's in Acts chapter 2, that's what they perceived, a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And it reminded me into the passage where it says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of that, of them, of you. And that this is a picture, I believe, of that at that time that was there. And verse 3, appeared unto them of cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And I think this was a physical picture of that at that time. It doesn't say cloven tongues as a fire and they sat on them. It said it sat on them.
Yes.
And I believe that to a obvious reference to the Spirit that was there amongst them, and one Spirit and not many spirits. In Ezekiel, we like to go to Ezekiel a lot in other parts of the scripture, but turn to chapter 37 just for a minute. And very, we know what this is speaking about in chapter 37, Valley of the Dry Bones. In chapter 36, before this, the Lord speaks about that he will make this change about what, and speaking about what the Lord spoke to Nicodemus, the new birth is by him. And in that passage there in 37, the last half of it, there's about 20 times where it says, I will do these different things. And there's none of them that says, if you do this, I will do this. This is all of God's doing. But in chapter 37, I'd like to read, starting with verse 9, just down a few verses. And he said to me, this is the bones. And he asked him if these valley of bones can live. And he says, thou knowest. And the Lord put them all together in front of him and put them together and covered them with skin and put these bones back together again. In verse 9 of that chapter, it says, and then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore, verse 12, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves up, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. And this reverses right back to chapter 36 when he says these things that he will do and put a new heart in and circumcise the heart and open the eyes and the ears. And then it says here that he will do those things and that his spirit will come upon his people. Put his spirit in you, you shall live. Verse 14, place in your own land. Then you'll know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, said the Lord. Goes along with what he was saying in John to Nicodemus about the spirit is life to his people, and that his spirit is that life. And then after that happens, it says you'll recognize where you were and where you came from. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, another section about the Spirit Paul's speaking to the Corinthians, but in chapter 2, verse 11. It says in verse 9, as is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Here speaking, natural man cannot know these things, but the Spirit does reveal these things. And it says the Spirit searches and knows all things, the deep things of God, and this man can only know these spiritual things by the Spirit of God revealing to him. And it says, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. And that's the important thing. There's maybe many spirits out there, small s, as far as the philosophies and thinkings and that type of thing. But there's only one true spirit of God, big S, that is not just meaning the connotation or the thinking of things as small s might mean, but this is the Spirit of God, the power of God unto salvation to his people. And this was that wind that came upon those people in that day. This was not the little s. This is the big S, Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost that was promised that would come on this. Another thing, these here, this is not to say that these men were not believers before that. We know they were. We know that there were the group of those apostles that were with the Lord, and he told them that the Spirit had revealed these things to him, who he was and the truths, and testified of the truth. This was not saying, Christ was not saying that you'll be given the Holy Spirit as in salvation that day, but the Comforter would come, and there he was going to reveal that he is in the midst. It's always been the Holy Spirit that's made these things alive in his people. It's always from day one, as it were, or before day one, that the Spirit was that which caused life. And those men with him, they were his. They were part of the church. They were believers, but the Spirit was going to come on them in a visible way, as the Lord himself was still the Lord himself before he came in the flesh here, but he came in the flesh to manifest himself, who he was. He was the Son from above that was well-pleased by the Father, was well-pleased in him. He came to carry out those things that were necessary to the redemption of his people. I believe that in our Brother Hawker goes on for some length about this, that this, they had the Spirit. It wasn't that they weren't believers. This was an outward sign of the third person of the Trinity, that they were going to see this carried out in a physical manner, some things that were pointing to and showing what the Spirit does in his people, and opens their eyes and causes them to believe. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, turn over just another page or two. Oops, wrong page. Back to Acts. While we're here, you got your thumb in Acts. In chapter 4, it speaks again about Peter and John and company is here. Acts chapter 4, starting with verse 31. It says, they had been arrested for doing some things and healing a lame man and impotent man, and they'd been thrown in jail, and then they were going to be turned loose. In verse 31, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they are assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." And here that again speaking of here in verse 31 and 32 and 33, that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. It said, and they had the same Spirit about them, the same Spirit of God that was in them, not just the same mind about doing something, but the Spirit was on them, as it says here. And this takes place not only in salvation, when we recognize that something has been changed in us, but the Spirit is with us when we read the Scriptures. He may not flash a lightning from us, but whenever the Scriptures are preached or taught or read, his people, the Spirit is what opens up anything. And we had a phrase that was used in Message here just this last week. God's people have circumcised ears, just like a circumcision of the heart, or the eyes are opened. The preaching of the word, the Spirit causes our ears to be attuned to those things, and it's by his doing that that the true truth of God, witness of God, comes forth to his people. There are many that are smooth talkers, but Paul said to a couple of different groups, he said, I didn't come to you with smooth words. I came to you with what the truth of the Scripture had to say and what the Spirit reveals to him. One quote from Brother Hawker, he says, it matters not what the minister saith if we hear not what the Spirit saith to the churches. Doesn't matter. And how many of us have sat and heard maybe good sovereign grace preaching messages before our ears were ever attuned to them? It wasn't the failure of the message or the method or those things. It was dull ears, deadness that was there. And the Lord himself is all that can do that. But I like this. If it matters not what the minister saith if we hear not what the Spirit saith to the churches. And from there, with your fingers still in Acts, turn to Revelation chapter 2. And you probably know what we're headed to here, but the phrase is here many times in the next couple of chapters in Revelation, but in Revelation chapter 2, verse 11, and it talks a bit to the different churches that he's speaking to here, and that the Lord is speaking to. In verse 11 it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And then in verse 17, and not just read the rest of that, but the thought that's at the conclusion of these paragraphs, it says in verse 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And then in verse 29 it also says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And that is key to every time the word is open. That it says, he that hath an ear. Remember Isaiah said, who hath received our report? Those that the Lord had opened the ears to. That's the only ones that can receive the report. And the ones that hath an ear. And it doesn't mean that your hearing aid is turned on. It means that circumcised ears. And I like that phrase was just kind of struck me a little bit. But I liked it a lot, what that had to say. The Holy Spirit seemed to chose to make his presence known and the manner to show his sovereign power and method as Almighty God. In this picture we have of the sound of the wind from heaven above, the tongues of fire on them, and we know that goes on in the languages he gives them, but this was how this part of the Trinity, and we kind of compartmentalized the three parts, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but they are one. And we can't juggle those pieces quite right. We see them as individual offices or parts of it, and yet they're one. And this particular, the Holy Spirit chose this method and this time to make himself seen in a physical way. And a picture of the spiritual work that will be done, and we see later on in the towards the end of this chapter that he does indeed do that, and there are those that witness that they heard the wonderful works of God, and we're going to look at that a little bit, and it might be a lesson or two till we get down to that end of that, but look at two, if you would with me, please look to the Gospel according to Zechariah. just for a second. And in Zechariah chapter 8, and we've been in this neighborhood here for a while and been here lately. And verse 12, I like this verse a lot, It says, Zechariah 8:12, "For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heaven shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of his people to possess all these things." Wonderful verse of God's promise to his people. That not only that, but like with Ezekiel there, chapter 37, 36 and 37, of who's doing this. This is not something that we've reached step 10 and so we get the next notch is God's blessing to us. All the things that we have now and hope to ever have, we have all the in Christ, in spiritual blessings in heavenly places in him, through him. He's the one that, there's no us meeting the criteria. We know where we stand on that. The bar is set a little bit too high for us. By nature, we are dead. There's nothing that we can do to cause the seed to prosper, the vine to have its fruit, the dew comes from heaven again down and causes the increase. And it says, I will cause the people to do this. This is God's doing. The seed, these things are what the Spirit does in his people. It's again the working of the Spirit in the church, and he has done from the beginning. Until the Lord comes, the Spirit is him that does the working in his people. And in chapter 4 of Zechariah, just back just a little bit, I especially liked a couple of messages we heard on this verse 6, and also the, you can plug this in a lot of places, explains a lot of things. It says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." That covers 100% of what we are, recognized, and will ever get, is by his spirit. These things are revealed and made to us. That's how the ears are circumcised, the heart is circumcised. That just means an awful lot, that we can fall back on what the scripture says, and that it's not of our doing or our abilities. Let me go back to the book of Acts again. For both the spirit of prophecy that we know the prophets have given, as well as the power and the meaning of that, is Jesus Christ, the true Lamb, and those things that he has done and is for his people. The power is the Holy Spirit causing the remnant to hear and to believe those things. Cloven tongues, it says, verse 3 here in Acts chapter 2, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And I don't think the words were, I think the Lord caused those words to be there that we have record of. And it says, like a fire, and it sat upon each of them. I think it was, that shows that there is one Spirit of God that is the witness to all the church, ever was and ever will be. It sat on all of them, not various spirits or various ones. It's a physical sign again, that I said, of the Spirit among them, working of the Spirit in us to life is shown and declared. And then the third point or third part in verse 4, it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The speaking that they had, we know it's, we're going to look at that in later times, but the different languages, and it said, we each heard it in our native tongue. Heard that, we understood what was being said in that native tongue. What was being said here, the Spirit gave them utterance. They weren't just giving them the party line. They were giving them the message that the Spirit gave them. And we know, and we're going to see that the utterance that is given to them, the wonderful works of God that says in verse 11 of this chapter, that's what they were hearing, was the wonderful works of God. And this saying that there were not other things, but this utterance it is given, and prophecy and preaching, it is the witness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what the Spirit does not bear witness of himself and hold himself up as the pinnacle. He is the one that causes that life. Without that, we have no life. But the Spirit witnesses through the Scriptures, he witnesses of the Lord himself. And that is always the case. There's never anything else that is witness of, except the mercy and grace that our God has to us and what our Savior has done and means to us. In 1 Corinthians, one more time. Actually, 1 Corinthians a couple more times. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 6, and it says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And that is what the point of the gospel, the point of the prophecy is, and there, verses said that Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy, is about him. That's what the gospel according to Jeremiah or Amos or Hosea. Hosea speaking about bringing in a people that weren't looking for him. The many pictures we have of speaking of the Lord himself to his people. In chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, these are not the only places, obviously, that speak to this, but these are ones that came to me as I'm looking through some of this. Chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, starting with verse 7. Here speaks about the working of the Spirit. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. There are not many spirits. in that regard. One Spirit, capital S. He speaks about other spirits, small s in here, and that's meaning and referring to the direction somebody's speaking about, not spiritual things, but what spirit of politics you have or that type of thing. It's a different. It's not the big S. That's not the capital S. God the Spirit, but here I think speaking about all the different things that God gives to His people is through the Spirit. It's all the same Spirit. And if someone comes and it does relate back here to the preaching of the gospel by the Spirit there in Acts, that they all spoke the same thing. One time somebody was a little confused to start with when there was a man we know that said, I have one message. Well, there is one message, one Spirit of God and one message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are many ways to get there, but it's all the same Spirit, the same message. If someone comes and said, by the Spirit I was directed over here, I think that's probably a small S, not the big S. There are those that have that blame or attribute to the Spirit things that He has nothing to do with in that regard. And I think many have abused the book of Acts here in the picture of this, that of what was taking place there, and turned it into something that other, we desire to have that gift. And that's not what the point of it was here. And then lastly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Chapter 15. First Corinthians 15, I'd like to start with verse 1 and reading down just a bit here. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also received, and wherein you stand, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12, and after that was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last all was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which is in me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? And it goes on that ones that did not believe in that. But up here, the grace of God, Paul said, I preach Christ in it. And that's the witness that is preached. That is what the witness is. This in 1 John, and we'll close with this. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. And we're not by any means done with this passage, chapter 2 of Acts, but this last thought with this first part of it, First John chapter 5, starting with verse 5. It says, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given us to eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And that's the sum and total of the gospel. And this again puts it all on the Spirit of God revealing these things to his people. It's not come by hard work or study, those type of things, but that he causes this witness, and that the wonderful works of God that those people were hearing in their own tongues there in Acts, as we'll see later, these were what they were hearing. This is what they were hearing, the gospel according to all the scripture we have by that Spirit. And with that, we're time to close for now, and thank you for joining us on this. And as Mike Baker says from time to time, as it says in John, be free. Thank you.